Maybe seated. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to start reading in verse 89. Folks, because of time, I'm going to start reading. We're going to read verses 89 through 96. You can catch up with me, but Psalm 119, verses 89 through 96. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all thy perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Now, look back at me, if you will. We are on a journey. I'm doing something I don't know that I've ever heard in all my years, but I'm teaching through the chapter of Psalm 119, a section at a time. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter of the Bible. There's 22 sections of 8 verses each. That doesn't make sense to the average person. Most Bibles, and by the way, if yours doesn't mean it's a bad Bible, but most Bibles have it broken down into little sections. If you look right above verse 89, you'll see a little Hebrew squiggly letter, and you see the word Lamed or Lamed right next to it. There are 22 sections to Psalm 119 because there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each section is represented by a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Jews would use this chapter to teach their children how to read. And the whole chapter is about the Word of God. There are 8 words used for the Word of God in Psalm 119. The word law, testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, and the word. By the way, those words are used all the way from Genesis to Revelation about the Word of God itself. And those are the 8 words. And the Jews would use this just like if you went to school and you had the teachers who would put the things above the blackboard or modern day whiteboards, the little signs, you know, A for apple and B for ball and C for cranky and all those other little things, you know, that they would do. That's how the Jews would use this to teach their children to read and show them the importance of the Word of God. And I have said this all along. I've been waiting for this section. This is the 12th, I think, or 13th lesson that we've had of the 22 lessons. And let me say right here, I don't know how else to say this. That is the single most important thing in the universe. Amen. The Word of God. Man did not write this. God did. This section, and tonight, I'll show you how I can prove that. There's many, many, many different ways. You say, well, man wrote the Bible. Man did not. The Bible was settled in heaven before there ever was a man. Good men would not have written about themselves. Bad men would not have included all the things that they did wrong. Man did not write the Bible. God didn't say, okay, Paul, let me put the thoughts in your brain and you write it down. God gave it word by word. These are God's words. These are not man's words. And by the way, I know this according to Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, for there is no faith without the word of God. You have no salvation. You have no faith apart from the word of God. The world is in such a mess right now because we've gotten away from the Word of God. Now, there is no salvation any other way but by the Word of God through faith. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God, now, if you go to sleep, wake up right now. If you miss this, you've missed the whole lesson for tonight, all right? Give me about 3 minutes and then you can slap yourself and go back to sleep or something. God finishes or completes things before he gives it to man. Did you ever notice everything that God did for man, he completed it before he gave it to man? Creation was complete before he made man. The earth in its rotation every day in its rotation. It's complete. Did you know nobody can stop how slow or how fast the earth moves? It was completed. It does not change. Did you know that the tides are predictable because God made it that way for man? Our revolution around the sun in the 365 one quarter day around the sun in our universe, God completed that for man before he gave it to man. God made all of the smells of the earth, good and bad, before he created man's nose. He created all of the colors, whether I can see them or not, before there ever was an eyeball. He made all those things. He made oxygen before man had to breathe. He made the sunrise and sunset before man got to see it every day. By the way, the sun does come up slow. He doesn't just flip a switch and it's there, just so you know. By the way, that's why evolution is not possible. God completed it before he gave it to man. There is nothing that God set in motion that was not complete before he gave it to man. Now, listen to me. Does it not make sense then that God's words by which man is supposed to live were complete before he made man? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So if God had to give us his words to live by, they were complete before man was made. Now, take your Bible. You're going to use it for a minute here. Turn to John chapter 1. And I need you to grease your fingers up because I'm going to fly. I want to quote all of these because I can, but I'm not going to because I feel like you need to mark these in your Bible. John chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. Notice that's capitalized. That's a proper noun. That's about a specific person, place, thing, or idea. Watch this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, capitalized, was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Look at verse 14. And the Word, notice it's capitalized, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you know what that word is? It is Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something. The same, verse 2, was in the beginning with God. That means Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created. And the word of God was there at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. God had it complete before he made us at the beginning. Jesus did not come to the earth to become man. He became flesh. Jesus has always been the man part of God. God said, let us make man in our own image. And in the image of God created he him. Now watch this. He didn't come to earth to become a man. He came to earth to put on a body that could die. He could not die in his heavenly body, but he had to pay the price for you and me for our salvation. So he had to put on flesh that could die. Now watch this. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. It's in here. Hang on. There it is. Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to look at one verse, verse number 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Ooh, the works. What works? The word of God. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, just a few pages over. And look at verse number 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Did you know it's by the word of God, the Bible, that God created the earth. And God said, and God said, and God said, Genesis chapter 1. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He spoke the word and spoke creation. He spoke the word of God. By the way, God breathed into man the breath of life and man became a living soul. That's called inspiration. He inspired him. He breathed. You cannot speak without breath. Many weeks ago, I said, did you ever fall out of a tree and your diaphragm went, you can't get any noise out because you have no breath. You can't speak without breath passing through. The word inspire is life-giving breath. All right? Now, Second Peter chapter 3, just a few more pages over. Second Peter chapter 3. Goes Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Hebrews, or 1st, try that again. That's not all, folks. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 5. 2 Peter 3, 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. God divided the land from the firmament. Firmament above and the firmament below, Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. The word of God was there. All right? So the word of God was there in the beginning. And if God stays consistent, now listen to this, that means the word of God was complete before man. God places the highest premium on his word. And it is what gives God his credibility. We won't take time to turn there. If you want to mark it down, Psalm 138, verse number 2. God said that he has set his word above his name. God said that the word of God is above his name. That means the word of God is as important, listen to this, as the name God or Jesus or the Holy Ghost. See, the reason we have America in the sad shape we're in, Christian-wise, is because we started fiddling with the Bible about 100 years ago. We started rewriting it, revising it. You had the New American Standard, the New Revised Version, New American Standard, the ASV, the RSV, the HIV for the Sodomites, and everything else in between. You got the New King James. You got the Good News for Modern Man. You got the Bad News for Bad Monkeys. You got all the other versions out there. You say, what happened? We started fiddling with the Word of God. And when you start fiddling with the Word of God, then you start fiddling, well, we all have the same God, just a different name. You call him Buddha, you call him Jehovah, we call him Muhammad, it's all one God. No, it's not.
That's right.
The Bible is elevated above God's name. By the way, it's no wonder that the devil and a man have tried to destroy the Word of God. In the 1960s, Madeline Mary O'Hare took it out of the Christian or out of the schools. Everybody doing all right? And we wonder now why our schools are in such bad shape. We wonder now why socialism is accepted in America. Because we've been teaching it in our public schools for the last 40 years. Now, introduction is over. This section of Psalm 119 is about how the Bible is the eternal, living, and alive Word of God. And it gives us credibility as Christians and God credibility as God. I want you to notice verse 89 again. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Do you know how long forever is? Forever. But I want you to notice something about that word forever. It doesn't mean from here on out. It means forever past and forever future. It was always as God was. Forever means forever. See, man thinks in time. God's not bound by time. God's not bound by the clock. We are. We can only see, you know, I made a statement a little while ago. Grandma's 97 years old and I'm going to go see her. And we're thinking, man, that's old. And it is. But you know what? 97 years to God's nothing. It's barely a click on the clock. Y'all know what I'm talking about? See, God is forever past and forever future. And so the Word has been there forever. Now, I want you to notice something here. The Bible is eternal. John 1:14. We read it a little while ago. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want you to notice something here. That Word is Jesus Christ. You mess with that book, you're messing with Jesus. You mess with that book, you're messing with the Son of God. You mess with that book, you're messing with God. And again, I don't have time to turn there. I'll give you the scripture references. I'm quoting them to you as I go for time's sake. But if you went to Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, you'll find out when Jesus comes back at the end days, it says He comes back on a white horse, and on His vesture is written His name, the Word of God. His name is the Word of God. And that is talking about Jesus. Folks, when they start messing, when they say, well, the Bible's preserved, but it's not inspired. Listen to this statement. You can go down to the mausoleum and kick out a crypt and open up a body that's been preserved, but it's still dead. Inspiration gives life. Jesus is not dead, He's alive. If the inspiration is gone, Jesus is dead, and we're all going to die and go to hell. Yes, sir. It must be not only inspired, but preserved as well. The inspiration is preserved. Now, because it is eternally alive, it applies to all generations. We read it a little while ago. Look at Psalm 119, verse 90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances. Wow. I was talking to Fred the other day. Fred's been coming to church regular a little bit here recently. He said, you remind me of the church I went to when I was a kid. Well, Fred's about 148 years old. But he's almost 80 years old. Him and Brother Taylor are fighting for the oldest man here. Miss Colin, your mama's got it for everybody, though. I said, thank you. You know, man, almost 80 years old, and he says, our church reminds him of what it was like when he was a kid. We're just about where we need to be, amen? Say, why? Because the Bible hadn't changed. People have, but the Bible hasn't. It is alive, and it applies to us today. By the way, I'm going to read a couple verses to you. You ought to mark these down and go back and mark them in your Bible. You ought to memorize these two verses. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God is going to keep His words whether you do or not. Now, we don't need new Bibles. We don't need new religion. We need to live the one God wrote. Now listen to this statement. Listen to Bible logic. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. Hang on. Brother Galleon wrote this book. And I've got a half a dozen copies that for you ladies. It'll be good for you if you don't understand dress standards. This would be a good book for you. I've read it. I've got it. And it's a fabulous book. Now listen to me. He wrote the book. He is an author. I have a book I wrote. It's a book on leadership, followership. I've authored a book. That means when you author something, you write something, correct? God said He has not authored confusion. He could have only written one book, or He would have authored confusion. But you follow the logic here? If God wrote it down and it's spread out over thousands of years and there's no complete copy, God is the author of confusion and He's not God. There has to be in every word Bible somewhere for the English-speaking people as well as the Filipino-speaking people, but in the English language, it is the King James Bible. I'm not going to go into all the different historical proofs of that, but he could have only written one, or God is confusing the world. And I want you to notice the Bible says he's not the author of confusion. The author of confusion. So the Bible is eternal. It always has been, always will be. Number two, the living word of God gives life and strength while we are being opposed. While we are being opposed, look at verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in my affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Now that word quicken doesn't mean make me fast. Thank God, Brother Eddie. The older I get, I'm not as fast as I used to be. Now, I still am faster than you are, but I'm not as fast as I used to be. You say, why do you say that? I can run faster scared than he can mad any day. But let me say this. That word quicken means to make alive. All right? When you cut your fingernails too close, you get it in, you know what you call that? The quick. Say, why? Because it's alive in there. And you touch them live nerves in there, and it gets real exciting real fast. The word of God is, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder, soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. But I want you to know something. The word of God is quick. It's life-giving. When you're going through a problem, when you're facing opposition, when you're facing temptation, I want you to notice something. Run to the Word of God, not away from the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, do you know how Jesus responded to the devil in temptation? He said, Scripture says. It is written. Scripture says. He himself fought the devil by using the word of God to encourage him, to strengthen him in opposition. Why is it we run away from the Bible and we wonder why we lose? Run to the Bible, not away from the Bible. You see, affliction can cause you to doubt the word of God. I became a Christian, thought everything was going to get all better, and it's getting a little tougher. It must not be true, Brother Galleon. The Pentecostals and the Holy Rollers tell you that you just trust Jesus and everything is okay. They're idiots. The very Jesus they preach was crucified. Their doctrine didn't work for their Savior, if that's the case. He never promised it would get easier. But he did promise he'd go through it with you. You go to the book of Daniel. They threw Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. I want you to notice something. They threw three men into the fire, right? They looked in and saw how many men. And they said, the fourth is like the Son of God. Now watch this. Then they called for the men to come out. How many came out? That means Jesus is still in the fire. You're going to have to go through the fire to see Jesus. He didn't say he'd keep you from the fire, but he said he'd go through the fire with you. Now, listen to me very carefully. Affliction comes to everyone. Opposition comes to everyone. Quit getting mad at God because you didn't get your way. Well, it just didn't turn out like I thought. Well, you're not God, and we're all glad, and so am I. It didn't turn out the way I thought, and you're glad I'm not God. Now, wait a minute. He gave you his word to help you through it. Whether it looks like it's going to make it or not, just hold on. Man, I can't tell you how many times I didn't think it was going to work. But I just did what God said do. And it's amazing how when you get to the other side of this thing, you said, man, if I'd have done what I wanted to do back there, we'd been in a lot of trouble. I just did what God said. Put my head down, started obeying, and look what God did. The Bible quickens. It gives life when you're about to die. The Bible is CPR. It breathes life into you when you're about to die. Wicked people will try to destroy you. Verse number 95. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I'll consider thy testimonies. Brother Galleon called me today. He said, Brother Bush, how are you? I said, I'm doing great. I said, I'm so good. I should be twins and the world would hate both of me. We both chuckled because we both know that's not true. Amen. I'm doing great. Now, wait a minute. You say, well, you must not have any battles. You've never pastored. There's not a moment in my life. There's not a battle somewhere. And if I don't have one that I know of, I'm starting one with myself. You say, why? Because that's the way I am. It's just constant battle mode. Do you know that the wicked people hate God? Can I tell you something? Everybody listen to this. The politicians aren't going to like you if you're a Christian. Just mark it down. Everybody doing all right? I don't want the politicians to like me. Now, I don't want them to hate me, but I hate to tell you something. They're going to be part of the devil's crowd. You know, I don't want the bar owners to like me. They might come to church, but they're going to get preached at. I don't care. Did you know, listen to this statement. This may surprise you. Did you know that the United States media is not going to like you? You say, how much do you believe of what the media says? The date. Most of the time, and never the weather. Folks, I've been around the media. I've been slandered. I've had my name in the newspapers with them. I've been around that stuff. It is amazing how much they twist. And I'm not going to preach that. That'll be another sermon. People don't hate you, though. They hate the truth that you live by. Jesus said they're not going to hate you. They're going to hate me. And they're going to hate you because you're living what I told you to live. So it's going to look like they hate you, but they don't hate you. They hate me. Don't worry about it. 2.5 years ago, we started Grace Baptist Church. I've said this 100 times. I don't pastor this church. God does. I'm just his assistant pastor. I'm the delivery boy. I'm here telling you what Pastor God told me to tell you. That's what I'm here for. And by the way, that's why it's not going to be my church. It's his church. It's all about him, not all about me. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang on. Number 3, and I'm hurrying. I'll be done shortly. But your definition of shortly and mine might be vastly different. The Bible is more perfect than all of the things in the world. Look at verse number 96. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Can I tell you something? Did you know that whatever man calls perfect has been proven wrong? There's only one thing that's never been proven wrong, and it's that book right there. That book right there. That is the only perfect thing in the universe. It is God's word. You say, how do you know? Well, you go back about 15 years and look at the diet plan. You follow this diet. It is the perfect diet. Now, if you follow it, the doctors will tell you, oh, that's unhealthy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, hang in there. You take this medicine. It will guarantee to fix this problem. Now, there's so many regulations on it that they take it off the shelf. Say, why? Because they found out it wasn't perfect. Everybody doing okay? governments. We don't have to go any farther. That's not perfect. It wasn't perfect under Ronald Reagan. It wasn't perfect under George Bush Sr. We know it wasn't perfect under Hillary and Bill. Then we had Bush number 2, and it wasn't perfect. But it was sure a whole lot better than what we got now. Now, wait a minute. Government is not perfect. I don't care if the Pope became president. Thank God it's not going to happen. But if the Pope became president, folks, America is going to still face judgment of God, and the world is too. Matter of fact, I kind of hope he does become president, because that's one step closer to the Antichrist. Amen? He leads the mother of harlots in the book of Revelation, and all the little harlots are going to go back to mama, and that's why the Pope's getting involved in global politics right now with global warming. Say, well, who are the little harlots? That's the Protestant Reformation. And all the Protestant churches are going to go back to mama or papa. It's appropriate. God knew he would dress like a mama, so he called it the mother of harlots. Amen. But anyway, he calls it what it is. I shouldn't say those things. I'm sorry. But what they call perfect is not perfect. Y'all love it when I do that, don't you? I have fun with it. Man's perfection is based on man, not God. Do you know if you live by that book, everybody calls you an idiot? And I'm going to make a statement here. Did you know if you live by that book, your president put you on a terror watch list? You're a radical movement. Sign me up. Sign me up. I was a radical long before he was president. I'll be radical long after he's out of office. See, God's word is perfect. It was not written by man, nor does it contain man's thoughts. I'm going to make a statement here. Read it as God wrote it, not as some commentator says read it. Amen. Go to my office. I don't have commentaries. Say why? Some commentary is written by a guy too lazy to go out soul winning, just want to sit there and read his Bible and tell you what he thought God said. I don't need what some man thought God said. God's quite able to say it the way he wanted it said. Y'all doing okay? Paul says here, Paul didn't say it. God wrote it before there ever was a Paul. Well, David says here, David didn't say it. God said it. He wrote it before there ever was a David. this is a symbol of this, and this is a symbol of that. We get into all this symbology garbage. Can I tell you something? Very few times in Scripture does God give us symbols representing something, but when he does, you can mark it down. The seed is the word of God in one of the parables. We know what the symbol is. But that doesn't mean every time you put a seed in the ground, it's the word of God. I planted cucumbers. I put cucumber seeds in and I didn't get New Testaments. You say, that's stupid, preacher. Okay. Now, it may symbolize the word of God and how it can reproduce, but let me tell you something. When I put bean seeds in, I didn't get John Romans. I got green beans. I thank God for the word of God, but not every time. But God said in that illustration, the seed is the word of God. Then he talked about certain ground, and it represented this. And only when God said it does it really represent that. You say, well, I could show you here where I believe. Okay, you believe that, but God didn't say it. There's a lot of doctor mess em ups that think they're smart and intelligent, telling you that, well, brass symbolizes judgment, and gold symbolizes this, and purple represents that. Hey, I think it's for fun preaching, but you don't know that, and you think you know more than God. If God didn't say it, don't worry about it. Well, what about the toenail on the statue in the book of Daniel? What does it represent? Means the thing had a toenail. We got people that are all convinced that the end of the world's going to be in September because you got blood moons and you got this, that, and the other thing. Folks, no man knows the hour nor the day when the Son of Man cometh. Period. End of discussion. You say, aren't you interested and worried about all that? I just get up every day. I keep looking east. I keep looking up, say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And until then, I'm going to find every sinner I can, give them the gospel, help every Christian I can to get off their blessed assurance, and go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Isn't that what it's all about? I'm going to make a statement here. I love you. Knowledge of the Bible only will lead to humanism in Christianity. We have a bunch of intellectual humanists in religion today. God's not just interested in how much of the Bible you know. Well, the knowledge is the beginning of wisdom. Notice it's the beginning of. Wisdom comes by application of what you know. God's more interested in how much you're living. I know lost people that can quote scripture for hours at a time, and they're going to die and go to hell. He's not interested just in how much you know. If you're learning the Bible to prove how many facts you can spit out, is all you are, well, I won't say what it is. It's not couth. But my English teacher in high school, Becky Hartline, used to say this. Hang on there, Doc. She probably still says it. Taking a test is like bringing information in and puking it out on paper. That's the way the average Christian is with knowledge of the Bible. They can spit out a bunch of facts, but they don't know how to live any of it. I don't care how much you know, how much you're living. How much are you doing? God says that your knowledge should move you to action. You should be addicted to doing the Word of God, not just knowing the Word of God. Now watch this. You can't do something if you don't know what it is. So that's why knowledge is the beginning of wisdom, but notice it's just the beginning. Got a lot of intellectuals out there that think they're wise because they know a lot of facts, but they don't know how to tell a lost sinner how to get out of hell. Well, we're going to have a cute little program. We'll take surveys and we'll decide who's the most responsive. Can I tell you something? Who are you to play God? Jesus didn't say go door to door and take a survey. He said give the gospel. Brother Eddie, I've knocked on hundreds and hundreds of thousands of doors. Usually the guy that comes to the door with a cigarette hanging out his mouth, t-shirt broke open, if he's got one on, long hair, listening to rock music, beer can in his hand, I'm thinking, there ain't no way this guy gonna listen. If I was taking a survey, he'd be the last person I'd come back to. He's usually the first one saved. The guy that comes to the door dressed in the suit, real nice, sharp, good people skills, thinking, now this guy's going to listen to me, and he's usually the one that slams the door in my face. See, I make a pretty bad God deciding who needs the gospel. I'm not supposed to decide. I'm like the mailman. He doesn't decide what letters he puts in your box. If it's got your address, it's going on. He doesn't care. You're supposed to go to the address and give out the mail. There it is. There it is. You're not supposed to, by the way, you're not accountable for paying the bill. The guy getting the bill is. You know, if the mailman drops your, what did I get today? Berkeley County, you know, ambulatory and the sheriff and, you know, those things you get every July that we got to pay $14,000 for that should be paid out every month, and we won't talk about that. But, you know, we get those things. Did you know that if you decide you don't want to pay it, you don't give it back to the mailman and say, here, you pay it? It's not the mailman's fault that that was in your mailbox. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Guess what? When you go soul winning, you're just supposed to take it. It's up to them to receive it. Your obedience is the doing. They're responsible for the receiving. Boy, that's good. Live the Word of God. Don't just know the Word of God. Live the Word of God. God completed it before He ever created man. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. It is the Word of God. He's not the author of confusion. He only wrote one. He only wrote one. Oh, I could talk hours and hours and hours about all the different texts and the Latin Vulgate, and we could go into the Catholic Bible, and we can go to all the Masoretic texts, and we can get into all those other things. Not going to mean a hill of beans to you. That's the Word of God. Just trust it. Just trust it. Just trust it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight, some of you need to decide you're going to load up on the Word of God and help somebody with it. By that, I mean this. You're going to decide you're going to live it. I don't know what part of it you're not living, but I promise you this, there's part of it you're not. Every Christian in this room is guilty of not living part of it. Maybe we just need to get back to learning it, loving it, and living it. As the music begins to play, let's stand to our feet. If you need to use this altar, why didn't you come tonight? Would you come? Young people, build your life on the Word of God. Mamas and daddies, build your home on the Word of God. Make it the authority in your life. Hey, America's got problems because we won't live by our own constitution. We won't live by our own rules. We're not living by the word that was written on how we should govern ourselves. Christians are in just as much a mess. We want to change it. We want to rewrite it. Folks, that book right there will help you make better decisions in life. Guaranteed. Business decisions, work decisions, coworker decisions, decisions about finances, decisions about things in your home. I don't care what area of life. That book will fix it. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible. Preacher, that's all you ever preach about. The Bible and soul winning. Good. Amen. Maybe get through your thick head. That's what we need. Let me ask you a question. 70 years in America, it's been voodoo. You can talk about anything in the world that you want except religion and politics. Well, in the last 70 years, we've turned communist and socialist in our government and turned godless in our society. Maybe somebody better start talking about it. Amen. Everybody doing all right? Amen.